The impeachment trial of President Trump continues in the United States Senate later today. The president's defense team will continue their presentations before the Senate. The trial is, not surprisingly, the first topic of conversation this week for John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Roby Brock with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. Their conversation took place yesterday after some of the leaks from former President Trump advisor John Bolton's book became public. But not all of those leaks had happened yet. Roby asked John Brummett if he thought the leaked manuscript changes anything that might happen in the U.S. Senate today or this week. Brummett says it might present a complication.
And it is also complicated in that the White House defense team has sat on the Senate floor in an impeachment proceeding that there's no quid pro quo. And yet now we know that Bolton sent the manuscript to the White House National Security Council December 31 because he was talking about things that they needed to review for whether it was classified. And now people are saying, well, they told a falsehood on the Senate floor. So there are a lot of things for Mitch and the folks to get around and figure out what they're going to say and how they're going to handle this. I guess now there will be witnesses, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I think that's a big gamble.
But if there were three or maybe four thinking so before, maybe there'll be, maybe. But if somebody just now said, we really don't need the witnesses anymore. We know what happened. We got to have Bolton's essential testimony. But, and even if the plan had been, this is so weird. The plan, I think, had been if they had to call Bolton as a witness to depose him privately and then classify anything that was troubling. All that's out there now. Impeachment is going to come out the same way. Politics are going to largely play out the same way because people's minds are made up. But the general precariousness of the Republican position on this matter, to simply hear no evil, see no evil, is really complicated right now.
Yeah. Could have some ramifications in some of the tough re-election races.
Yeah, that's
races.
What this is all about. Mm-hmm. I've tried to say, this is about the political effect later. And where Trump is concerned, I think he is so polarizing that it's a factor, but not a major factor. There's so much to come in the campaign. But there are Republican senators up for re-election in swing districts, and they don't need this, and that's what all the hand-wringing is about. So it's a major development that will not have clear major consequence in the short term.
You spoke to the Hot Springs Village Democratic Party?
Democratic club in the state, yeah. They tell me, which says more about the state than Hot Springs Village. Well, they had a nice crowd. Well, really, there are some there.
Tell me what was your message? What did you deliver?
Basically, I said the real speaker here tonight is the other speaker, David Couch. He's the man behind all of the initiative acts, the things that citizens' initiatives, and that's how we get things done anymore in Arkansas. And I tied it into the fact that Bernie is leading in one poll on the Democratic side, and Trump is the Republican president. When Bernie's not a real Democrat, Trump wasn't a real Republican, and the parties have never been weaker, while partisanship, meaning hatred of the other side, has never been greater. And I built a speech on that basis.
Yeah. You know? And it was also kind of the foundation for your column on Sunday to talk about.
I wrote
about
that Sunday, yeah. Uh-huh. The party is, I think it's the most profound thing that's been, and I didn't say it originally, I wish I had, about our modern political condition. Political parties have never been weaker, but partisanship has never been greater. The point is very little gets done, and I closed the speech and the column by saying there's one institution left that is effective at thwarting the will of the people. That's the Electoral College. Because we now have in this century, and within 20 years, two second place presidents in the popular vote going into the White House based on the Electoral College. It might surprise you to know that of all the things I said in that column and all the things I said in that address, that's the most pushback I got.
Really?
People saying, you want people in California to decide our president. I just want them to have as much power in their individual vote, one man, one vote, supposedly a principle, as we do. You want, my rejoinder is, you want people in Arkansas and red states without many people to pick the president. Anyway, that's a big to-do whenever I bring
something
that up.
Something that you'll hear more about. Yeah. This is a good segue into a retro piece that you have written for us about what has happened in the last decade in Arkansas politics. It's coming out in our State of the State magazine, hitting mailboxes this week.
It's now in the mail, you say?
It is in the mail.
Good. Just
maybe,
like the check.
Maybe you'll have one in your mailbox when you go home at
lunch. I don't think
today,
I'm on your mailing list, but I hope so.
Give everybody a perspective of what it was that you kind of outlined. We started the 2010s with Mike Beebe and a lot of Republican gains. By the end of the, it didn't even take halfway through the decade to get Republican majorities. We are at a place now where there are Republican supermajorities.
Yeah. The concept, I should say, was yours. You used to do this piece for us.
You do the writing.
Well, yeah, but I did the writing. Others did the thinking. I just did the writing. But I called, the point, as you say, this decade just ended. The 20-teens were big for Arkansas, major. I call it convulsive change, which I think we could agree that it was. I talked with a very articulate and thoughtful political science professor, I think emeritus now at Wichita, Dr. Hal Bass. Never really talked with him at length before, but I thought he would be helpful on this subject. And he gave a lot of thought to his input, and he's quoted extensively about how Arkansas was populist and conservative Democrat, and it was all based in a heritage of the Depression and the New Deal and even the Civil War. But as time passes, you could see chinks in that. I mean, Ed Bethune, Frank White, Mike Huckabee, Republicans get elected, but those, we said, were like leaks in the dam, and the Democrats could always plug them with bumper.
Jay Dickey, another one. Yep.
Yeah, the Democrats, Mike Ross plugged that one, Mike Beebe plugged the one after Huckabee, Bumpers plugged the one after Rockefeller, Pryor defeated Bethune, Clinton came back against White. It was always starting to happen, but the Democrats were able to plug those leaks. He said 2010 and 2014, flood. And it was a flood, and it's largely the things we know. It's Obama and resentment of his otherness, which is not just race or religion, it's just his general otherness, as it's called. And it's, a lot of things that we've all talked about, like the internet and social media and polarization. But as Dr. Bass said, this is basically, there's no political center anymore. And there's no viable plan. It's not held. And that's where Bumpers, Pryor, Clinton, though they were pretty liberal, they lived in Arkansas in the center. And it doesn't exist anymore because everybody gets their news on a nationalized basis. And then I take all of that and I talk to Governor Hutchinson about that and other things. And from that, he and I got into a little discussion of my theory that he has held back the full revolution, in my view, because he's so pragmatic, and that he has resisted cultural conservatism because he wanted to govern. He didn't want to be divisive, and he wanted to continue this moderation of our politics and modernization of our economy, and he thought real right-wing bills would set the state back. Even if that's true, he didn't want to go along with that. But because in the article he said, hey, I did the conservative revolution. Look at our tax cuts and look at our transformation of government. He said, I just don't believe in doing needless things on either extreme. And when somebody says we need to put in a bathroom bill, I'm not seeing any bathroom problems in the state. Why do we want to go into that? And so he's saying no. Basically, he's saying, don't say that I'm a continuation of the era that included Clinton, Bumpers, Pryor, Beebe. Don't say that. Because this is a new day of tax cuts, less regulation, pro-business, true conservative principles.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. His columns can be found in the physical paper in 12 counties in northwest and western Arkansas and at ArkansasOnline.com. He talked with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. More from the conversation at TalkBusiness.net.